Blog Talk Radio.
Going to D&D, getting my coffee, that's what I'm saying, please. Seeing my yellow cat, hell, honey, joy, go get me some treats. This is what I do every morning. Get my latte, vanilla chai. Get my donut up on the rise. Gotta do some work, here I find. Gonna finish my e-book. Do it hard, like the e-book. She shook the whole world. She is coming out with her own damn pearl. Her jewels galore. She is the joy that you wanna go with. She is the future queen. She's your damn heart and your damn sleeve. But you love her though. But you love her though. When you can't cry, she got you though. When you can't cry, she got you though. Don't know what to do. In this world, trying to be true. Got my all energy. And the damn synergy. Sometimes I'm scared, but then I pray to the archangel fair. Come on, Jesus, give me my soul, protect me all there. In this new world, where I say what I say and it's true unfurl. Joy's going to get her damn donut. And her latte from D&D. Enjoy your morning, please, please. Don't wear your heart up on your sleeve. Come to me, I cry for you, I love for you. That's how it be. Sometimes it hurts too much to go it alone. Sometimes you need a friend and joy. That's what you got, me. Joy in the morning, come please.
Okay, well, good morning. That was a Joy Morning Intro original. I got to tell you, I was pretty, it just tickled my soul listening to that. But it came off the day. I had good energy. I really was at Dunkin' Donuts getting my latte. And I was like, what the heck? Like, let me try it out. Let me have my little intro. What would it sound like? And this is what happened. So, to be continued, this may or may not, it may or may not stay, probably remastered or do something different. But for right now, I think it's catchy, right? It's early in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, like you want to have good energy. Anyway, so today is November the 11th on Wednesday. You know, 2015, I feel like, is it just me or is time kind of moving quicker as we approached the fall? I feel like we had the longest summer ever. And then afterward, when the fall came around, everything is just, from my point of view, it just seems like it's speeding up. Like, everything is so quick, you know. The next day you look around and, you know, a week, 2 weeks pass by. It just seems so fast. I mean, to me anyway, I feel like we had a long, enduring summer. I feel like the summer took forever. Leave us, but my time, biological experience, it just feels like everything is going quicker. But that's me for at least for the fall into the winter. Winter is really right around the corner. I mean, give it a couple more weeks, and you might have your first flurries over here in the East Coast. So this is interesting. Today we're talking about the divine feminine aspect. What is the goddess energy? And we're going to mention the planet Venus, the planet of love, of social relationships, our values to each other. This is going to be good. So we're going to delve right in, and I'm going to mention some people along the way. I'm going to mention some things along the way, but let's start off, what is the goddess energy? What is the divine feminine aspect? The divine feminine Venus.
what is she embodying? I feel like for the divine feminine, you know, the Venus is a good example of what she represents. It's, you don't know about the planet Venus in our solar system or heard wind of it or some type of example of it. I mean, where have you been, right? Venus is widely talked about. It is a planet, even if you're not familiar with astrology, solar system, planets, you kind of have some, you know, some inclination of what Venus stands for. I mean, you've heard the example, women are from, I mean, like, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, right? You've heard that before, right? So they're saying, like, women are, you know, of Venus, of love. Men are, you know, from Mars, of war. Or if you say, like, not war, like, action, the planet of action, planet of energy. Venus is very soft and very yin-like, very feminine, very loving, very passive. You know, that's like the true embodiment of the feminine principle is, you know, we look for a woman who's soft, you know, in her voice and her look and her, in the way she speaks to people. Like, she embodies this, like, lovingness, you know, in her voice. You never want this type of person to yell at you or, you know, look down on you. So it's a very Venetian aspect of the goddess, and it's a perfect example, I think, of where I'm taking it anyway, of the goddess energy. The goddess energy I'm referring to is the kind of the graceful, like the slower aspect of grace and peace, you know. Not so much high energy, but just kind of like this softness, this gracefulness, like this Audrey Hepburn would be like a good example. Like this very graceful and demure, serene, you know, tranquil almost, you know. And, you know, these people, when they embody Venus, you know, the aspects of that planet very well, they kind of just are like walking, talking love, you know, bottles of, you know, potions. You know, just being in their presence, you feel more loved, you feel more nurtured and more content. Like, people like to nurture you, and even in the way they speak, right? And Venus is a very sociable planet. Women, they say women are often more sociable than men are. You know, we like to connect, we like to talk more, we're very chatty. We're very into our relationships and our bonds. And so this is another aspect of the feminine, wanting to connect, the interconnection principle. You know, but it's more of softness that I'm going with. The goddess of grace, the goddess of peace. This energy of just you know, kind of touches you, and it's very subtle, but it's very soft. It's very heartwarming. I mean, there's different, you know, aspects of the goddess energy, but to say that something is divine feminine of the goddess energy is, it's saying it's more, I feel like, more soft, more graceful. You know, I feel like you're pinpointing the goddess energy in a more spiritual, graceful aspect. And, you know, going into that further, a perfect example, if you want to get, like, real, well, she's no longer living here, but if you want to get close to, like, a real-life example, Elizabeth Clarence Prophet, you know, she I think she died, like, 2-3 years back. She's a good example, or late modern day example, because at first I said Audrey Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn is very classy, but she doesn't really, I mean, she embodies the Venus, but not so much of this divine feminine aspect that I want us to focus on. If you look up the person, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, you know, I spelled her name in the edit, but if you look her up and you see some of her presentations, she speaks a lot about spirituality. She has kind of like a mixed spirituality with Christianity, like myself. She goes into another point of reference with the Saint Germain violet energy. You know, that's something for you to explore, to, you know, on your own accord to get into. But if you listen to how she speaks and, like, the, you know, her stature, and, you know, she has, like, this glow, you know. She has, like, this spiritual glow, the very softness, this very peacefulness about her. And when you are looking at this woman across, you know, like, this media, you're looking at her, you know, on your computer, your, you know, your TV, you do feel this energy coming, emanating through, this spiritual, peaceful energy emanating through. Like, she is the spiritual mother. She is, like, embodying that divine feminine energy, that goddess energy, that, you know, that divine goddess energy. You know what I mean? And so, you know, she is, I've often felt like she was spiritually nurturing me. You know, like, my energy still started to get higher just by listening to her, and just kind of, like, you know, getting to know her more with her books and her meditations and her chants, and just really had a really positive effect on that auric field. I really felt that spiritual, peaceful aspect. And, you know, as a woman, you know, that was starting off getting really serious with my practice, I can tell you she did a lot for me in terms of understanding what it feels like to have spiritual chakras or spiritual aura centers. I mean, we have certain energy wheels in our body, and they resonate on different colors and frequencies. But I feel like Elizabeth Clare Prophet, she's taking people into a different type of chakra energy system altogether. It seems very spiritual, very higher energy wheel. It's different. It's not like your normal type of energy wheel. I feel like she is channeling and chanting and trying to focus her group into more of a spiritual energy body. And I felt her take me there in certain chants and meditations she would do. But definitely look her up. She's no longer living. I kind of find when I was really getting into her energy and I first discovered her, she passed away very suddenly. And I'm just like, wait a minute. Like, that's pretty odd. And I don't believe in coincidences. I feel like sometimes when we're onto something big in our lives that could really help us, you know, that can help a lot of people, something happens in the matrix to kind of like, you know, kind of bring down the side of good just temporarily, right? Just, you know, give us some things to do, kind of slow us down. But I mean, it just seems like that was what was going on at that time when she died. It was around the time, I feel like it was around the time of Paul Walker. Then you had Robin Williams. I mean, you had other people that were well into the spotlight, that had very, like, seemingly high energy, very emotional energy, very watery energy. Definitely Paul Walker, he definitely came off very sensitive, and he actually became a Christian towards the end, so I thought that was interesting. I can't not think that was a coincidence, like, first Elizabeth Clare, then Paul Walker. But I just feel like, you know, let's keep proceeding on. Even though these people go, let's remember their work. Let's keep embodying the spiritual stuff and make our lives better, you know, no matter what happens. And she really gives a good example of what it means to be a divine feminine woman. She talks about that, too, in her books. Fallen Angels is one that's one of my favorites. She talks about that and how the divine feminine, we've been persecuted for so long. Like, the divine feminine is, like, the first to be attacked by the malvoyant energies in the field. And these malvoyant energies, they use people who are weaker spiritually, or they don't understand, and they don't know how to control their emotions. Like, they're manipulating others, and they really target the feminine the divine feminine aspects first and foremost. It's very difficult to find strong women, more secure, high esteem women. They go after us. They don't want empowered women. They don't want women who are spiritual, of course not. They don't want women who are talking about Christianity or open with it. They don't want anyone who's really spiritual, but definitely not a female who's coming out to help spread that message. Or maybe you're just a female who is about trying to mobilize her community, and you're trying to help a certain group of people and empower them. They're going to try to attack you, but so you have to kind of learn to, like, protect your divine feminine energy and to keep it shielded. And you're going to have to, you know, learn how to do that. You're going to have to learn about these people and to help, you know, keep you focused on that. Because it's too much of a coincidence. Everyone I come across in the spiritual community, spiritual leaders. I mean, if you want to take away the spirituality of it, Britney Spears, she's a good example of, I wouldn't say she has so much like divine feminine, but her at one point in her career, it seemed like she was embracing her femininity. She was embracing the empowering aspects of, you know, like her femininity. And I feel like she was going into like full goddesshood. Like she wasn't quite there yet. But she was getting there. She was very empowered, and they don't like empowered women. And she had her episode, her nervous breakdown, and you kind of have to wonder, you know, were their energies, were their spirits driving her? Was there something behind that in the spiritual realm? And I like to think that it was, you know. That is like a common belief that I share, that she was spiritually attacked to make her energy lower than what it should be. Let's see. I mean, there's others I can think of. Okay, it's not just Britney. I mean, Aaliyah, the late Aaliyah. She was the R&B, you know, singer. And there was a time when she was starting to become more international with her career. She's a soulful R&B singer, late soulful R&B singer. She was starting to embrace her femininity. Her divine femininity. She was starting to get more sultry. She was dressing nicer. She started wearing more feminine clothes, you know, towards the end, and all of a sudden she had this, you know, the accident. She had, like, this tragedy in the airplane, like her airplane crashed tragically, and it was so sudden. And it's like she had the movie, Akasha, I'm not saying it right, but she had the movie with, like, the vampire, Queen of the Dance, that's the name of the movie. But she's like her character role is Kasha. It's like this Egyptian pharaoh sort of, you know, like, you know, dark underworld style type goddess, right? But it's like a darker version of that energy. I can't even say she was a goddess energy. She just had imbued dark energy in that character, because the goddess energy is not dark. You know, we do have dualities here in the universe. But the goddess, true goddess energy is not dark. The goddess energy is grace, it's peacefulness, it's softness, it's gentleness, it's loving, it's nonviolent, it's peaceful. It's not dark, because you have to have life from the goddess. You have to have life. In order to have life, you have to have this gentle, nurturing, peaceful principle, you know, this soft, peaceful energy that emanates to create life. So it's always good. It's always, you know, I've come in to learn more about this, and more the true aspect of goddess energy or divine feminine aspect is of light. It's good. It's goodness. You know what I mean? It's really a peaceful goodness type energy, gentle, nurturing goodness. Very passive sometimes, most times passive again, but it's very good energy. It has to, in order to, you know, create this life. And so, you know, would you want to be a goddess yourself? You should be a goddess yourself. You know, you are a goddess. You should embrace your womanhood. Often, like in the Bible, you know, they do center around patriarchy, the sons of God. You know, well, what about the daughters of God? I will say that Elizabeth Clare Prophet, she did do that for me. She started putting that in her book, you know, that she's a daughter of God. And I really did appreciate that, because I always felt like I'm a daughter of God too. You know, like I was very spiritual, still am, you know. I used to pray every night, you know, read in the Bible. So it's like, you know, you do all that work and you put yourself into it to not be recognized as, you know, like a child of God, and to not be recognized really as gender. It's kind of makes you really, you know, reconsider it. The religion, you know, and I didn't want to, on that one technicality, but I mean, it's a big technicality. I didn't want to just like, okay, I'm going to throw the Bible away because it's not talking about women. It's not supporting women. I have to see it for what it is. Like culturally, it's a patriarch, like even though there's some good spiritual wisdom there, it's still based off of patriarchal culture, you know what I mean? And we still have to kind of, like, empower ourselves and fight past those ignorant, you know, that the old paradigm, you know, that's not right. Like, we just use common sense and sense of morality. Like, you know, God doesn't want us to have one person better than the other. Like, he is what they say, impartial. Like, he's not into favoritism. Like, we should be equal. We should recognize equality because we are made of the same light. We're made of the same energy. Isn't it said man and woman come together, they become one being, one organism? So if you look at it, we are all considered children of God. Like, we're all considered human. And we just have to, like, start recognizing the divine feminine more, because that's the essence of who we are as humanity. You know, like, women are the progenitors of our race. Like, we bear young. We are the sense of health and nurturing in the home. You know, we are the bedrock. So it's a time to come back to that. And look into the Gaian principle. The Gaian principle, I would say, a good totem for the Gaian principle is the turtle woman. If you look up turtle woman, there should be, like, a Native American tribal group. They did a website for turtle woman. But basically, turtle woman is a good symbol for the Gaian goddess. Symbol. The turtle woman represents nonviolence. She represents peace. You know, she represents this inner strength that women need to have if something traumatic as violence does take place in your life. It represents the need to be sacred again. You know what I mean? This idea that we need to be sacred again, because too long has the earth been ravaged, have women been taken advantage of, and we are the emissaries and representatives of this earth. So it just goes hand in hand, you know, pillaging, raping of the earth, you know, doing the same to women. It's destroying the divine feminine aspect within us. And in order to be powerful women, in order to be healing women to our boys, to our men, to our daughters, to society, we have to keep this divine feminine spirituality principle always within us. We can't let that go. We can't, you know. We have to try to keep ourselves sacred and keep ourselves free from the violence, and keep that peace within us. So that's, like, the Gaian principle, turtle woman, nonviolent, peaceful totem. You know, like, think of the turtle as a totem for Gaian principle. Now, the Sophia aspect of the goddess would be, like, I want to say the higher form of this goddess, divine feminine energy. She is the wise aspect, the soft wisdom, the graceful, gentle wisdom of the goddess. And, you know, still gentle, still soft. You know, this energy is very peaceful and very subtle, but everyone can experience it. It's not overpowering. It's nurturing to all. But Sophia, I feel like, embodies, like, the wisdom, the enlightenment of just being aware of yourself, you know, being aware of the present moment, being aware that you're a conscious being, that, you know, that you are here to go higher. You are here to exist, but in harmony. You know, you're here to go as far as you desire, as long as it's in peace, right? As long as it's, you know, good naturedness, like, you know, sky's the limit, and you can expand your energy, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, Sophia invites that abundance principle within. She invites that energy of that golden, peaceful energy of light, you know, to be filled within you. You know, so you can have abundance. So you can attract abundance in your life, you know, whether it's in terms of wealth, whether it's in terms of, like, love of family, like, friends, people, strangers are attracted to you. They want to be near your light. You know, you're feeding them with this peaceful yellow light. So there is no sin when you really take into consideration these principles of divine feminine aspect into yourself, and you actually live it. You know, if you're peaceful and gentle in nature, and you keep your mind and your thoughts of peace and purity, you know what I mean, you're starting to cultivate. You don't have to commit sins, or you feel like you're, you know, you got to be on this guilt trip all the time, like, oh, you messed up, you know. No, you just, you know, you started to embody the, you know, both Gaian and Sophia, like, you started to become one with just being at one with peace within yourself, within your heart. You know what I mean? That's all you need. I mean, like, some Christians would get mad at me for saying this, but this is always like a struggling belief, but like I've always come to the end road of this, idea that Christianity is number one, that you have to believe in it no matter what if you want to go to heaven. And honestly, from my standpoint, from my experiences, Christianity is a wonderful thing. It's embraced positively, like the principles that actually help to heal you. The principles that say that you need to love other people, forgive them, and, take your time with people, be patient with them. Like, if you embody those principles of Christianity, then that is the essence of, where we should all be at. But to say that it's, like, the number one end-all be-all, I mean, I found in my life that the universe, trusting in the universe and, like, the principles of the universe is feminine. Our universe is a divine feminine creature aspect. And if you know the laws of the divine feminine, it really does come down to the same stuff, unconditional love, forgiveness, having faith and trusting that things will work out, flowing, going with the flow. That's all based on the principles of the universe. Because when you die, your energy is not created nor destroyed. You're going to go into another existence, whether you're a Christian or not. Like, it applies to everyone. Like, that's what they, they don't want me to say. You say that so much. But, it's about preference. It's about preference. Christianity definitely is a strong one to keep you reminding of that. But to keep it soft and feminine and not forget, who your divine feminine is, take it back to Gaia. Take it back to Venus. Take it back to the Holy Spirit. Even the Holy Spirit aspect in Christianity is a good example. The Holy Spirit, they talk about that in the Trinity, but they never mention the feminine aspect. Like, okay, they say the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, what's missing in this picture? The mother, right? The Holy Spirit is the female aspect, the mother, the divine feminine. Feminine, her energy is very peaceful. Like, what do we know in nature that comes off nurturing in people, but the females, the gender, the females tend to be more passive, more gentler, like, more nurturing. Like, it's the female aspect of the spirit. It's the peaceful aspect of the spirit. It's something to think of, really. But they don't want to tell you. They give it, like, a genderless thing. But it's really, if you think about energy, the soft white peace, it's very feminine. Look at Elizabeth Clare Prophet. She is definitely a good example of like a spiritual mother because she exudes this white aura energy, and it does feel very nurturing. It feels very calming, like the Holy Spirit, aspect. Anyway, so I talked a lot here. I just hope I got everything taken care of. I mean, Holy Spirit is a divine feminine aspect. Okay, it is okay to be goddess yourself. And I have a Facebook page, Goddess Rule. I feel like that was a little bit ahead of its time, or maybe I was just, embracing truth where others were, they might be down with feeling, like a goddess and feeling divine as a woman and empowered, but they might, I feel like it took some time for people to start, corralling with me and, agreeing with me and, it's nothing to be ashamed of. Look at how they have our society where we're ashamed to just call ourselves goddess. Or, we're ashamed to, assert our power, our feminine power, which is very soft and passive anyway. Like, we're just acknowledge the fact that we have power as women. The true nature of the woman, especially if you get even more to the divine aspect is more spiritual. Like, if you're a spiritual person, and you're feminine and people rely on you for advice and prayers, you have like a certain type of power and authority, people rely on you. I find that a lot of women don't really acknowledge that, and that's not the way to be. I mean, this is a new age, new society. It's time that we embrace our true selves and kind of open our minds a little bit and get past the mental slavery that the system has had on us for so long. The patriarchal system, the malevolent entities, the demons that like to manipulate us and stuff. Like, let's get beyond that. Energy and physical, wise. Let's get beyond that. And, you know, shout out to Elizabeth Clare Prophet. You know, you passed. I didn't get a chance to really get too, you know, really acquainted with your work, but you're a blessed soul. You're beautiful, white light. Thank you for all your service, you and your husband. Thank you for your many books and your meditations and chants. And you've made me, you know, experience that divine feminine aspect within myself, that spiritual experience that, and I credit and thank you for your work and your diligence. Thank you. So I'm going to say that and leave off. Before I leave off the show, another thing too, have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments of the Earth? Are you going to say them real quick? I still have some time. Okay, the Ten Commandments of the Earth. Number one, thou shalt love and honor the earth, for it blesses thy life and governs thy survival. So true. Commandment two, thou shalt keep each day sacred to the earth and celebrate the turning of the season. Very good. Commandment three, thou shalt not hold thyself above other living things, nor drive them to extinction. Very important. So many creatures are extinct now. Commandment four, thou shalt give thanks for thy food to the creatures and the plants that nourish thee. Number five, thou shalt limit thy offspring for multitudes of people are a burden onto the earth. Try not to overpopulate. That makes sense. Okay, commandment six, thou shalt not kill nor waste earth riches upon weapons of war. Problem number six, that's what's wrong with the world. The men are too war-mongering hungry. Like, we need to calm our men. We need to help them spiritually. Okay, commandment seven, thou shalt not pursue profit at the earth's expense, but strive to restore its damaged majesty. Yeah, we really need to replenish the ecosystem. We need to have a environment that's stable and, you know, and healthy for the next generation. This is really good commandments to keep us all aware and concerned with the place that we live in. You know, I'm liking it. The last three I'll say to you guys, commandment eight, thou shalt not tithe from thyself or others the consequences of thy actions upon the earth. I like this, accountability, responsibility. Commandment nine, thou shalt not steal from future generations by impoverishing or poisoning the earth. It kind of reminds me of six, too, with the waste of earth's riches and weapons of war. If we continue to war and ravage the earth like we're doing, we're not going to have any sustenance or any nourishment. You know, we're already in North America. There's not enough. I feel like we've agricultured and destroyed so much of the land here. I mean, most of our food is imported from other countries, Central America, South America. I mean, if you look at the map from like before the settlers and then after the settlers, we had so much lushness in terms of the green here, and just now it seems like dry and desert-like. It's just barren and. It's sad. It's like the majority of North American continent. Like, it seems like we can't even plant food here because of the poor agricultural methods and, you know, just the techniques they had and the energy, the war, the not replenishing, you know, the ecosystem, like taking more than what we need. I mean, it's just a big problem. We need to all be concerned about this. Last commandment, commandment number 10, thou shalt consume material goods in moderation, so all may share earth bounty. Yeah, keeping things in balance, try not to be so gluttonous and, you know, greedy. You know, it happens, but it's never a good feeling when you're, like, too bloated and, you know, really could have, you know, gave the extra piece of chicken to your cousin or, you know what I mean? Like, it's never a good thing. Like, and it feels good when you're sharing something a little bit more for someone else and they didn't expect it. Like, that energy gives back more than you eat in the extra piece of chicken anyway, right? So it's very fulfilling and very enjoyable if we actually embody those principles, those commandments for our daily living and kept everything sacred. So that is definitely going to segue the show of the Gaian principle, the divine feminine aspect of what our goddess energy is, and definitely the hallmark of Venus. The Venus is the planet of love and social relationships, harmony, harmonic relationships, interconnectedness. And when we're good to ourselves and good to the earth, we're keeping Venus aligned within us. So let me play this song. This is definitely a loving, joyful song to conclude everything. Much love, everyone. Thanks for listening, and have a joyous, joyous Wednesday. Thanks for listening, everyone. That song was by Patsy featuring Ola, and it was called The Sweetest Sound. You can find that on SoundCloud.com. Sweetest Sound by Patty. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your Wednesday, the day of Mercury. Hope this is very communicative and connected for you today with the goddess energy and everything. Much, much peace and love, and join me again tomorrow, 8:30 morning, joy morning again.